This summer, we are going to be talking a lot about prayer. Prayer can be awkward. That's through some of my conversations with some of the students, you know, this past year. They say, you know, if there is an area where I could really grow in the year ahead, you know, I'm starting to get an idea of scripture memory is really important in high school student ministry. I'm getting an idea that the daily scripture reading is important. But I could really grow in my prayer life, but I don't know how to. I don't know how to pray. Like, this just seems awkward to me. And so I wanted to spend the summer, the nights that we're actually meeting together, talking about prayer. So while prayer can be awkward at times, or it might seem or feel that way, life can be pretty awkward, right? And some of us have the gift of making situations more awkward than they need to be. Okay, so, yeah, right? I saw Janet, she was like kind of nodding her head. So, okay, so personal illustration time, you know, I'm thinking through, think about maybe the most awkward moment that happened to you during this past school year. And if you're willing to share, I would love to hear. I'm going to start, and then I want two or three examples from the audience. But, you know, awkward conversations happen all the time in the church office, like all the time. And things that you wouldn't think that would be talking about in the church office actually happens. Or other times where awkward situations go, this has happened to me multiple times, where I arrive at my destination only to realize that I was just, my mind was in neutral and I'm actually at the wrong place or the wrong house. This happened the first time I went to Ani and Callie Lantrip's house. She lives on Serenity Court. There's also Serenity Way, right? You remember this, Katie? Katie and I were in there and I'm like walking up and I'm like, that doesn't look like Ani's dad. And he's sitting in his garage drinking a beer and I'm like, I'm looking for the Lantrips. And he said, well, I'm not Chip, but you want a beer? And I'm like, no, I'm good. So awkward moments. Man, there's so many things. I'm thinking back to when I was in high school thinking I have the right answer. Like, did this ever happen to you? Like, you were so sure you've got the right answer. You raise your hand and you blurt something out and it is like either not the right word that you were thinking or the totally wrong answer. Not even the right subject. Like, you're like thinking like math and it's English class. So that can be awkward. This has happened to me too before in banking, where I liked the same pair of shoes all the time. I'd get them in different colors. I usually get ready in the morning back when I was a banker in the dark because we have a baby sleeping in our closet perpetually. So I had a brown and a black shoe on. I've also had mismatched suits that happen. That makes for an awkward day when you get to the office and you've got an important meeting. And you're like, I got black pants on with a blue jacket. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe. Okay. So lots of awkward things. Okay, so what is something funny and awkward that you're willing to share? I just want to, I don't want to be the only one that's like the awkward guy. I know plenty of y'all are awkward. I've seen you for years. All right, Ethan, what's an awkward moment for you?
It's not really awkward. Well, it is awkward, but it's not really a specific moment. It's just things that occasionally happen to me. When you walk up to someone and you're like, hi, and you say a person's name because you think that's who they are, and then you turn around and you're like, who's the wrong person?
How many has that happened? How many of you guys that's happened to them? Totally happened to me before. I'm thinking it's probably happened this week to me. Okay, that's a good one. All right, Hannah and then John. Hannah.
There was this bonfire here at the church, and a girl walked over and she said, hi, Hannah. And I was like, hi. And then I heard her say, she didn't recognize me. It's my neighbor.
Yeah, so awkward moments where you're like, you should know the person, but you're not. So let's just go ahead and toss this out there right now. Freshman. You're new to the group, so please, seniors, juniors, sophomores, learn their names quickly, but please, freshmen, extend grace when we mess up a name, because it's going to happen. And then, but then also, same for these guys. You know, I'm John Schisler, but you should know my name. He would never say that, by the way. He is not like that. I love John. Anyway, so the name game, that's going to happen. Whatever. When that happens, just say, hey, by the way, my name's Danica, not Danica, right? Yeah. Danica, that was from the winter retreat. You're still not you're not loving that. I've known you since you were this big, so I've known you for a while. Matthew.
Okay, so we're talking about awkward moments, right?
Yes.
I have just the idea of someone using a modern slang to relate to people younger than them. Every moment that has happened to me has been painful.
Yeah. Yes, so like old people like me using modern day slang. KB and Donovan are in the back. I was like trying to show KB. Yeah, yeah. No, we were like, KB is his name. And I'm like, hey, do you know there's a Christian rapper? And like, I'm going up. I'm like, here's a good rapper. And KB's like, was that awkward for you? Because for after a while, you're like, I don't know if that's my kind of jam. But that was awkward, right? But anyway, I was trying. I was trying. Jonathan Schischler.
Don't hate that.
Jonathan.
Was that awkward? Okay, good. Go ahead, John.
So I was walking into like a group of people, my sisters were there, and like I saw one of them wave and I waved back, and then this person walks behind me and goes and hugs my sister, and I was like,
The whole you think someone's waving at you but they're really waving at the person behind you. Cause then you think you're a bigger deal than you really are. Yeah, ooh, that is awkward. All right, so again, so for the month of June and July, we are going to be talking about prayer. And in a sense, prayer is one of the most natural things in the world. Most people don't read their Bible, but almost everyone prays. You get in trouble, something big is coming up, something happens that is outside of your control, what do you do? Well, hopefully you pray. Everybody does, it's natural. But at the same time, if you're in a group and someone has to volunteer to pray, right, what happens? 90% of the time, there's this awkward silence. And for a few seconds until someone says, well, I guess I will, right? So if there's a moment of silence or a time at church for silent prayer, do you sometimes start to feel awkward where you're like, okay, I've been praying for a few seconds. And then you start to look around. You're like, okay, Emily Jagger's still praying. I should still be praying. You know, how long is this going to be? Like, right? Does that ever run through your mind? Like, okay, what am I doing here? So sometimes prayer is just awkward. We don't know what to pray. And a lot of times when we pray, we feel like we're just talking to ourselves or we're saying the same things over and over. I have awkward conversations with a lot of people. Most of them sit at the desk right across. I'm kidding. Aha, Janet and I work closely together. But for the most part, I don't have awkward conversations with my wife, Angel. We know each other. We trust each other. We love each other. And in a similar way, God has this unending, unconditional love for you. And prayer should be and can be the most comfortable and natural thing in the world. I think what makes it uncomfortable is that we really aren't sure what to talk about, right? We know a few phrases. We picked up on some things that other people say. We know how to pray when we're in trouble. But when it comes to everyday life, we just don't know what to talk about with God. So I like to think of prayer in certain directions. And so this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Directions. So upward prayers for praise, downward prayers for confession, forward prayers for transformation of your life, prayers to the right for our family in Christ, and prayers to the left for those that are lost. These are different ways. These are just some ways that you can think about prayer. If you're trying to think of kind of where do I start, this might be a good start for you. One of the reasons that this whole summer series came out is I heard a lot of good feedback from our retreat this year, and everyone said, you know what? At first, I thought it was going to be awkward praying through an entire Psalm 119 on the last couple of days, but I actually enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed getting to hear other people pray and looking at Scripture and just praying up to God. So I want to help to equip you guys to feel comfortable and not awkward in your prayer life. So if you have a Bible, and I hope that you do, if you don't have a Bible, come talk to me. We also have a couple Bibles that are at the check-in center, so if you need a Bible, always feel free to grab one. If you don't own a Bible, come talk to me, and I want to get one in your hands, okay? I want to give you a Bible. So just remember that. So Psalm 100, if you guys would open up, it's pretty much in the middle of your Bible. There we go. Psalm 100. Because today we're going to be talking about praying up. It's a short little psalm. Let's be awkward. Would someone who has it stand up, turn around, and read it that way? Someone. Thank you, Naomi Fultz. It's wonderful to have you back. Psalm 100, please. Oh, or you can face it this way. Because they're over. Yeah.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him in joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
All right. So, thank you so much. This is a pretty simple psalm. There are two parts, okay? So if you didn't get a note sheet, now's as good a time as any. Does anybody need a note sheet? Because if so, ooh, they're right here. Come on, grab them if you need them. Caleb, come on, grab it over here. So these will always be on the check-in table as you guys come in. Donovan, KB, Nate, would you mind dropping those off in the back? Here, actually, I'll just give them to you if anybody else has their hands up. If you drop them off, that'd be great. All right. So, pretty simple psalm. Two parts. Commands and explanations. Okay? So, God says, do this, but then he tells us why to do it. So, I need your help with the first part. I want you guys to take 2 minutes and look at this, look at the psalm, look at Psalm 100, and I want you to, if you have notes pages, if you have a pen, I hope that you do, bring something to write with each week. If not, there are pens out there that you can grab. But tonight, you'll want one of these pens, okay? Because what you're going to do is you're going to write down the commands that you see in Psalm 100, okay? So what is Psalm 100 telling us to do? And then we're going to do the second part of the puzzle, which is talking about the explanation. So God gives us a command, but he's always telling us why. So take a minute and please look and write down some of the commands that you see. Commands are verbs, action words. If that gives you any hints or help. Hey guys. Okay. So what is one of the first commands that you see, or what are some of the action words that you see? John. Make a joyful noise, or, you know, we could just say shout, okay? Could I have you be my scribe?
I wouldn't.
Oh, please do. Come on up. You've earned that right. All right. So, Jay Money gave me shout, okay, or make a joyful noise. What is another command that we see? Molly. Worship. Yes, great. Good job. So write down worship. It's okay, it's okay. Naomi. What'd you say? Go. Go is another one.
No.
Oh, with a K-N-O-W. All right. Yes, no or acknowledge. Yes. K-N-O-W. Matthew.
Enter.
Okay, that's a good one. Yes, can you write K-N-O-W?
Dude, I'm so sorry.
Okay, I got this. It's all good. Talk about awkward. Okay, we're good. All right. No. And the only reason I had you come up is because my handwriting is definitely not so good. All right. So we said no. We said enter. And go. Any other ones that we've seen? Shout, worship, no, enter, go. Come? Yeah. Any other ones? Elena.
Serve.
Woo. I'm running out of spots. I'm just going to put it right here. Serve. What else do we see? Naomi.
Praise.
Praise. Yes, I'll put that one with shout and praise, but we'll make some connections here, I hope. Okay? All right. Give thanks. Yes. We see worship. We see come before him. Now, like I said, though, here comes the tricky part. Sometimes in life, we get commands with no explanation at all, right? The explanation we get, and my daughter was looking at me, she's like, the explanation I get is because I said so. Now, hopefully, that's not the explanation we get on a regular basis. But sometimes you hear that in life. But in this psalm, God doesn't just tell us to do something. He tells us why we need to do that. So the reasons or the explanations given for why we should shout, why we should worship, and why we should give thanks to God. So let's think about it. So why should we shout? What do we see? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Okay? What is a reason that we should shout?
Because we're happy.
Because we're happy. Well, because, yeah, Mara, did you have an idea? As we are breathing. For this particular one, I'm looking at the Lord is God over all of the earth. So the we could shout because Our Lord is God, okay? I promise the other explanations might make a little bit more sense. When we think about serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. So when we think about acknowledging him, it's because he made us, okay? We can worship him because he made us. These are all going to be out of order because in my notes they are out of order. What about, let's continue reading on. He made us, we are his sheep, we are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Okay, enter his gates with thanksgiving, okay? And into his courts with praise, right? Why can we enter? Because he owns us. It's his courts. He owns that, and he is the Almighty. We are his, okay? Thinking about give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. We think about giving thanks because he cares for us. We give thanks because he is good, and he will always be good. He does not change. This is where prayer starts. So I'm not a whiteboard person, and this is why. I'm going to not try to do this ever again for, hopefully next 4 years. Whiteboards aren't my thing. Neither are PowerPoints. I don't know what my thing is, but we're working on it. So this is where prayer starts, though, Scripture. This is where a conversation with God begins. We recognize who he is and all that he has done, and we simply thank him for that. We thank him for what we see happening in Scripture and knowing that he does not change. That's how Jesus teaches us to pray. Think about the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Isn't a compliment in an easy way to begin a conversation? People like hearing good things about themselves. Now, I'm not saying that this is just what we're doing. We're not just trying to compliment God, but God above everyone and everything else deserves praise and glory and good things to be said about him. He deserves it. And if we really understand how good God is, praise will naturally flow out of us. We won't be able to help ourselves. Praise is so much more than just a compliment, right? But it's a good place to start. Think about this for a minute. We like getting compliments, but it means so much more when that compliment is specific. Ladies, which would you rather hear? Which would you rather hear, sweetie? I can't say this because I'm, anyway. Would you like for me to say, honey, you look so pretty today? Or would you like for me to say, man, that shirt is beautiful and it really brings out the color of your eyes and makes you look so tan? Or guys, which sounds better? John, would you like me to say, hey, good game on Tuesday, man? Or would you like to say, dude, that was an incredible throw that you made. It went right over Carson's head, and Josh Google jumped 3 feet off the ground to catch it midair. Which one means more, right? A compliment means so much more when it's personal and specific and thought out. So I want you guys, one of my number one rules about prayer is just don't go on babbling. Think before you pray. You are approaching the throne room. You are approaching God Almighty. And so I want you to think. It's the same way with God. God loves and desires our praises, but they mean so much more when it's thought out and it's specific. When we are praying to God, we don't just want to tell him we love him. We want to tell him why we love him. We love him because he forgives. Thank you, God, for forgiving me and my laziness and my worry and my doubt and my attitude. We love him because he's faithful. God, I got off track. I went my own way. I knew what you wanted me to do, and I went in the opposite direction, but thank you for being faithful and never giving up on me. We love God because he is at work in our lives. A prayer might go like this: Lord, thank you for giving me peace about this situation. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I do know that you are here. So, one of the easiest and best ways to get in the habit of praying prayers of praise is to slow down and to think about who God really is, what he has done in history, and what he is doing in your life, and what he's doing all over the world, and what he will do in the future to come. Now, one of the ways that we know who God is and what he's done in the past and all of history is by reading his word, right? But was God just a God of the Bible, or is he still active today? He is. He's still active today. He's still doing things all over the world. So everybody in this room praises something, okay? I don't know what that is for you. Maybe you praise celebrities. Maybe you praise sports teams. Maybe there's a person in your life that you just lift on this pedestal and you praise them. We all have things that we get excited about, we shout for, we cheer for. But we were created for one thing. One thing. What's that one thing that we were created for? To praise and worship God. Because he alone is the one who really deserves it. So, and there's this amazing thing that happens in life when we do. Okay, so we're in Psalm. Let's flip over to Psalm 22, please. Psalm 22. Hi, Isabel. All right. Psalm 22. So there's this thing, this amazing thing in life that happens when we do, when we start to see God being the focal point of our praise and our worship. Psalm 22, though, starts off like this. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Okay. And we're going to continue on. I think we've all had days when we feel like this, right? We feel angry, we feel stressed out, we feel frustrated, we feel defeated. And that's where David, the author of Psalm, is. But after a little while, there's a turn that happens. So in the same chapter, 22, let's flip over to verses 22 through 26. So there's a lot that happens in between there, but for the sake of time, I'm going to start in verse 22. And it says, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all of you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. And lastly, verse 26, the afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. There is the turn. David moves from being overwhelmed with his own situation to being able to worship and praise God. We actually see this happen a lot in Scripture. If you guys are familiar with Philippians 4, or you can flip over there, I'm just going to briefly read verses 8 and 9. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Will life always be good? Is your life always good? No, it's not. We wish it would be always good in our sight or how we want things to go. Things will not always go our way, but God will always be there in the midst of it. And he is always good. And when we praise him and we worship him and we show that we trust and depend on him, even when we can't see the ending, it changes us. It gives us joy and happiness where there shouldn't be any. And also in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says that every knee will bow before Jesus. We will all worship him. The issue, though, is whether we will choose to worship him today or when it's too late. Last night I was reading with my kids before bed in John chapter 5, which is where we're reading right now as a high school group. Just side note. That's what this little thing is, the bookmark. If you guys didn't see it on this week's email, this is what we're reading for the month of June. This is what we're memorizing for the month of June, okay? At the end of June and July, we will have a verse dinner, and daily scripture reading dinner, verse dinner at my house. So this is for you to keep track of if you're on track with the daily readings. There's only 21 chapters in John. It is the sixth day of June, and so you still have plenty of time to catch up if you have not yet started. But the idea is to read five chapters a week. Read a chapter a day. It's very, very manageable. But last night, which is, we're reading in John chapter 5, and verses 28 through 29 say this. I don't know. How many of you guys have been reading in John, somewhere in John? Hopefully a few of you. If you haven't started, start now. It's good. It's not too late. Verse 28 and 29 says this. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. See, we will all stand before him. Those who have given themselves to him will be welcomed into his presence forever. And those who have not yet given themselves to him will recognize who he is and that they were wrong to reject him, and they will be under his wrath forever and ever and ever. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is calling you to praise him, as we see in the Psalms. But if you've never given your life to Jesus, he's inviting you to something better than you could ever imagine. Okay? Don't leave tonight without setting things right with God. God is inviting you to pray prayers of praise. He deserves it, and it will change you. He gave everything for you. He gave his life as that perfect sacrifice so that you could have redemption of sins, redemption for your sins. He deserves it. He will change you. And so here are a few ways. Here's my challenge. You know, when I wrote down here, this week's challenge, should you choose to accept it. Here's a few ways that I think that you can live this out this week. All right, first of all, this is an easy one. Start your day off with praise. Whatever mindless thing you do in the morning, choose to focus on God. If you have a phone, I hope that you don't mindlessly like roll over. You wake up and you're like, what's the score? Or what's on Facebook? Or what's this? Like, for just a second, choose to focus on God. Think about who he is, what he has done. Tell him how great he is. And don't stop until you are joyful and happy and excited about who God is. Start your day off that way and try to carry that same attitude with you throughout the day, okay? Second challenge. Well, maybe some of you guys already do this. If so, fantastic. I'm not judging your guys' music styles, but I would encourage you to do this. Try choosing to listen to only worship music for 1 week. Just try this. Listen, I'm not a guy who thinks that every song not about Jesus is bad, but I don't think all the stuff on the radio is good, is edifying. I don't think I recognize that when I make it a point to worship Jesus in the car, the ride is different, okay? I am different. When we allow that music to point us back to Jesus, it can change the way that we interact and think about the world around us. This is something that Janet's small group, and I think a number of small groups were doing last year as well. Get a notebook out. Journal your praises. It's oftentimes harder to be stressed out or worried about things when we're looking at this list of things that we can praise God for, the things that God is doing in our lives. Our brains run so fast, and sometimes our biggest obstacle in praying is keeping our focus. So when 1,000 different things are running through our head, write the praises down. Whether it's a word or words or a poem or some lyrics, use a paper and a pen to provide a point of focus for your prayers this week. Whatever you do, my goal this week is for you to make it a point to praise Jesus in your prayer time with him. So we're going to be closing. I'm going to pray here in just a minute. And I realized I didn't even kind of like do announcements, but I want to tell you a couple other things. And then we're going to be heading outside for about a half an hour. And then we're going to be breaking in to small groups, and I will explain that after we pray. Joy has a question.
What's number 4?
We're curious. Oh, this one. This is the other challenge. Yes. So, sorry, number 4. I didn't realize I put numbers down. Okay, number 4. Thank you. You guys were paying attention. Oh, that was good. Number 4. I didn't make 60 copies of these because I didn't want this to be something that you just pick up and you throw in the trash when you make it home. I want this to be something that you think about actually doing. This is a challenge, day by day, scriptures included, of looking at your prayer life and how you're going to improve it. So if you're standing here thinking, yeah, you know what, AJ, my prayer life is pretty shallow. I kind of say the same thing every night. I really actually don't even think when I'm praying. I'm just saying some words and I say amen at the end and I assume that's a prayer. God is like knocking on your heart saying, yeah, man, like you've been so distant from me. You have not even approached me in a way that shows any sort of respect or reverence or awe. I think something needs to change. And I think this is another resource. This is another place to start. So, yes, this was the 21-day prayer challenge. I've got about 12 books left. They're up here. And I hope that after I'm done praying and we head off to other things, I hope all these are gone. I'd like to see if you guys would commit. It says 21 days. I think this is something that you can be doing throughout the summer. And I would encourage you to develop that habit. All right, let's pray. Lord, you are so far higher than our ways and our thoughts. Your love is incomprehensible toward us, that while we were still sinners, you died for us. Lord, before you even created the universe, you had a plan in place that you could dwell among us, and that sin was no surprise to you, but yet you knew what you had to do, and that sacrifice through your Son made that way. Lord, your word says that today is the day of salvation, and if there is anyone here who has not yet given their life to the Lord, Lord, I pray that they will not waste any time thinking that they have tomorrow or the next day to figure out what life with God looks like. Lord, that they can know what true and abundant life is only when they've fully surrendered their life to you. So Lord, I pray that our hearts would be in unison here, that each of us will see that we've been crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And so, Lord, I pray that you live in and through us and that you direct our steps in the ways that we act, the ways that we engage the world, and the way that we share the gospel. Lord, be with us tonight, and we thank you for being amongst us. Amen.